If you want to learn how to become a multifamily entrepreneur and achieve financial freedom through investing in multifamily real estate, you need to listen to this next podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Sanzio, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, who are my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, the father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barber. Gino, how's it going?
Doing good, Jake. How you doing, brother?
Always making it happen, big man. We got a special episode today. Today, we are discussing how to become a multifamily entrepreneur. G-Dad, what say you?
Mr. Stenziano, I think the first thing we need to do is to define what an entrepreneur is. And I like the definition that I heard several years back. It goes something like this. An entrepreneur is someone...
You sing us a song? It goes something like this.
It goes something like this. An entrepreneur is someone who makes enough money to pay for their mistakes. And I definitely fall into that category. I've made tons of mistakes. Entrepreneurs, we learn from them and we pivot. Listen,
Sounds like you must be a rich guy if you made tons of mistakes and you cover your ass, huh?
Well, that's what ends up happening. You either cover your ass or you just burn out. If you don't cover your ass, you're not an entrepreneur, basically.
Fair enough.
I think the important thing is when you look at being an entrepreneur, I even rip it down to the fact that I think my wife is an entrepreneur. I mean, we have six kids in the household. She's run the household for the last 20 plus years. She's homeschooled those kids. She's directed those kids. She takes care of the home, does the laundry, cooks the meals, feeds the kids, does the homework. It does all that stuff. She's actually a visionary. She's built something from nothing. We had zero when we were married. Now we have six kids. One of them's out of the house. The other one's in college. That, to me, is what an entrepreneur really is all about, being a visionary.
So, Gino, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it, right?
Yes.
How are you measuring her success?
How am I measuring her success? Feedback from people that tell me about how my kids are. I've got a lot of great feedback.
So he's doing net promoter scores, apparently.
that's a good one. I like that. It's sort of those things. To me, it's a feeling. I feel as if she's done an amazing job. I mean, the household.
Dude, cut the bullshit. You got net promoter scores. People are saying you're doing good. You got kids that are not druggies and committing crimes, and they're going off into society as professional adults. That's all you had to say. I'm busting your chops.
I'm really trying to think about that. It's a tough one because I just
no,
think
it's results based, right? Are you pleased with the lives that your kids are leading, right? And I think it's as simple as that. So she's producing. So hats off to Julia there.
And for us, when we thanks, Jewel. When we started out, Jake and I investing, we had no concept of an entrepreneur. All Jake wanted to do was to fire his boss at a Taco Bell. And the only thing I wanted to do was to leave.
Dude, I was trying to preserve myself because I knew it was either me or her, right? And whoever took the first shot. So I was able to, fire first and save my ass because I was going to get my head chopped off at some point for being a smart ass. So,
but when we started, we had no concept of what investing, entrepreneurship, exit strategies, none of that. All we were doing in the very beginning, and if you're listening right now and you're saying to yourself, I haven't even started investing yet, that's okay. That the whole step in the beginning of your journey is just to start buying deals. We call it the conveyor belt. Start putting deals on that conveyor belt. Let them start matriculating. Don't worry about becoming an entrepreneur, but know that that's what multifamily is all about, is that journey to becoming an entrepreneur, journey to scaling up, journey to creating systems, journey to partnering, a journey to learning all of these different strategies and techniques that will allow you to do that. But in the very beginning, it's the I'm a mentality. I'm a do this and I'm a do that. And if you're an entrepreneur, you're going to burn yourself out. And if you're not careful in the beginning, you start buying deals and you start doing everything yourself. After a little while, you will ultimately become that mom and pop. But in the beginning, just think about it, that conveyor belt. Start buying deals, single families, duplexes, wherever you are. Start putting those deals in the conveyor belt because your whole goal is to create equity and to create cash flow and to create those exits, those refis or those sales.
Dude, you're getting way too far ahead of yourself, bro. You're getting way too far ahead of yourself.
Am I?
Here's the thing, and this is why. It's so much limiting beliefs in the beginning, and you're going like 12 steps down the road. For people early on, when they buy that first deal, they just need that little bit of proof of concept to give them the confidence to get into the next deal. Because we always say, you and I all the time, education times action equals your results. But for education and action, there's different inflection points as you go, because you could learn everything in day one, but you're not going to be able to apply it all. You could take all the action in the world on day one, but you can't buy a 5,000 unit portfolio. So it's little inflection points along the way for education and action, and they stack and they actually multiply and snowball. So I just think that, you know, for folks starting out, to your point, buying that first deal is so crucial, because you're going to be able to apply a little bit of your education, but you're also going to have that action be applied so that you can stack and gain confidence to get into larger and larger deals.
And it took us 18 months to find that first deal. It may take you 8 months. It may take you 10 months. It depends upon how much capital you have, how much experience as a business owner you have. A lot of the people who join the Jake and Gino community are already business owners. They're already small business owners. They're already entrepreneurs in their own right. And they look at multifamily like, oh, wow. It's just a little bit of underwriting and buying a deal. I think the biggest mistake that Jake and I really made in the beginning too was not having that exit strategy and not understanding that it really is a business. You're buying this asset. It's a cash flowing asset. And don't treat it as just being the landlord relationship. Treat it as you're managing this asset. You're the property manager, or you hire a third party out, but you're also the asset manager. You're trying to build this into a little cash ball machine right here, and then the next deal is the same thing. I think that was two of our biggest mistakes early on, just looking at it as, oh, well, I'm buying a piece of property, I'm buying a real estate. No, you're buying a future stream of cash flows there, and you're buying an asset that's going to appreciate, and you need to really, I think, treat it as that.
We're also fearful about pouring into it too much. We're so cost conscious at times, and we still are. Look, we always look at, you know, our income statements and make sure we're not overspending. But I think we were a little too slow to hire many of the times, because we were like, oh my goodness, if we bring this next person on. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that we made was just a reluctancy to hire and scale up from that perspective, and then also go with some of the higher end finishes and things like that we're doing today in our apartment homes. But you know, you got to start somewhere, right? And it's those little inflection points along the way that help you grow.
My boy's getting ahead of me now, right now. I got hiring down farther. We're not hiring yet, because the next step is to follow the framework. First of all, the first one is just buying deals, understanding that it's the most amazing asset out there. It has all these benefits. You're going to start buying it. You're starting to look at it as a business. But then follow the framework. Buy right, manage right, and finance right. And utilize and learn all of the different strategies that we teach our students. We teach them how to syndicate deals, how to raise capital. Oh, I don't have enough money. Okay, learn how to raise capital. Learn how to partner with people. Learn how to joint venture. Learn how to refinance these deals and roll it into the next deal. Learn all about seller financing. That's the next step to becoming a multifamily entrepreneur, because I think the more options you have, the more opportunities you're going to be able to take to close deals, and understanding where you are in the market cycle. Right now, the market cycle is pointing to goodbye to the seller's market cycle, and the buyers are having a little bit more of an opportunity now. And is it any coincidence that we've already closed the deal about 6 weeks ago, and we had seller financing on it, and we've got deals presented to us with seller financing? If we didn't know that strategy, would we be able to close these deals? I don't know what the answer is, but I'm just telling you right now, the more strategies and techniques that you learn, the more opportunities you're going to be able to close deals. So the first one is that conveyor belt once again. The second one is follow the Jake and Gino framework: buy right, manage right, and finance right.
Dude, it is our framework, but it's literally the framework for sound multifamily investing. It's the same as 1 + 1 = 2. That's how sound this framework is, guys. But it really is. Multifamily investing is not rocket science. It's buying right, having the right parameters, managing right, following your KPIs, and getting good financing terms with non-recourse long-term fixed rate debt. And you were mentioning the deals a minute ago, Gino. To me, it was literally like a light switch was flicked on. And the funniest thing about it is people know intuitively, like, this is the time where you want to be buying. But more buyers have retreated from this market and more sellers have entered, and the pricing has gotten better. It's just so amazing, the dynamics right now. And it's what a great time to be on the buy side, but more people have pulled out and it's actually created more opportunity. So literally it felt like it was overnight. This light switch went on. It was like, oh, wow, we look sexy again. Hey, let's party. You want to go out? And we're buying stuff. And
full disclosure, I always look sexy. I don't know about you, baby. I always look sexy. And just say, what, maybe the appeal wasn't there.
I might be too much of a miser, but holy crap. It was like, man, we just went in. We got some like Botox and a facelift and a mud pie on us or something. We came out looking pretty again. It was nice.
Well, yeah. You know, for those of you that like shorter form content, we're doing videos on the how-to. Go to our how-to podcast. They're 10 minutes long. We're going to be doing one. Are we in a recession? Jake is and I agree. We're going to be talking exactly about this part of the market cycle. Well, we weren't sexy because everyone else was sexy because they were paying more money and we weren't as stupid as they were. Or I don't say as financially intelligent as they were.
We weren't as aggressive, you know.
Well, whatever you want to say, people were overpaying.
We weren't as irrationally exuberant. Yes.
Yeah, I like that, bro. That is excellent. So go to the how-to, listen to that short-form content. We talk about the recession. We talk about different strategies on multifamily and what to do, whether you're managing your properties, what your buy right criteria. Jake has mentioned a lot of things, what part of the market cycle we're in. We dive into that in the how-to. Now, the next one, create your own goals and your business plan. We're all different. We're vertically integrated. That's what we decided to become. We wanted to control all the
systems. Gina, what does that mean for folks that are not in the loop?
You know, I was just doing some reading about in this economics book. The reason why John Rockefeller...
Just a little evening reading for the Gino economics book?
Yeah, well, John Rockefeller was vertically integrated. He controlled every single process of his business, from oil, from extracting it, to refining it, to shipping it, to actually the gas stations themselves. That's vertical integration. And in real estate, we're buying the asset, we're managing the asset, we're disposing of the asset, we're refinancing the asset, we're controlling all those processes. So for us, we don't really look at trying to take thousands of units down a year. That's not our goal. Our goal is PPU, profit per unit. That's what our metric is. May not be for everybody. Some of you out there may love to want to scale and continue to grow and love to raise capital and love to work with investors. That's not our model. It's an amazing model to have. We started out with it. We have investors. Now we've been able to pivot it. And now, you know, when we read the book Small Giants, it really crystallized what our business plan was. You know, what do you want to do out there? I've got some things down here. Do you want to be an operator? Do you want to be a capital raiser? Do you want to be an asset manager? Hey, you may have some bucks like the Stenziano over there. You may want to be a balance sheet person and just be a KP and go out there and lend your balance sheet to deals and be silent. That may be you. You may want to do investor relations. What do you want to do as you start scaling up? You may be saying to yourself, I got 70 units. I really love getting on these investor calls. I really love talking to investors and offering them the opportunity. Or you may be like Jake and saying, I like getting down and dirty in the weeds. I love managing these assets. I love talking to residents and growing it from that perspective. You may be a person who loves to asset manage, loves to build those budgets and loves to create pro formas and loves to create P&Ls and loves to work with the capital raiser and saying, hey, this is what this deal looks like. Try to start figuring out as you're buying more of these assets where you want to go, because we say multifamily is a team sport. So once again, buy the deals. The next one is follow that framework. This third one is start to create your own goals and your own business plan for what you want your business to look like.
And just give the folks a little insight right here, Gino. Say again? What'd you say?
No, I was going to say, you want me to go to the next one? Because the next one is
I want to touch on the goals real quick, because you brought that up, and I think it's good to give folks the insight on what we're doing and how we're setting goals. Because for so many years, it was like, hey, let's just set 500 units. We're going to acquire 500 units this year, 300 units. And we've pivoted to 20% year-over-year top-line revenue growth. And I really like that personally, because you know, right now you're seeing a recession, so maybe you're not going to be growing rents at 20% like people were doing the last couple of years. So you got to focus on how many units is it going to take to hit that 20% year-over-year top-line revenue growth. And compounding, it gets pretty interesting. You know, our 10-year plan right now, man, when we get to year 10, if we can execute this, holy shit. From a financial perspective, it looks really sweet. So that's one of the things that we've been doing and, you know, really enjoying it. So give folks a little clarity. If that's something you want to adopt, it's working well for us.
Number four is to hire the employees. I got number five. Jake was talking about number five. I'm not going to skip the five yet because I think four is important. Because right now you're sitting at about 100 units and you're saying, holy crap, I can't do this. And we wrote the book, The Honeybee. It's not how can I do this? Who can help me? And I will be the first one to tell you that I was scared to death to hire employees because I was the pizza guy. I had one restaurant for 20-something years. I was the guy washing the dishes, sending out the food, ordering the food, hiring, firing, sweeping the floors. I was doing everything. I never stepped out and said, maybe I should hire a chef and take that responsibility out and start to build a business. I was the one that was afraid. And when I got into multifamily, it was a different paradigm. Same kind of business, income over expenses.
Think if you guys had a general manager at your restaurant, how much better that would have been.
Yeah. It would have been amazing. I wish I had that, but I didn't have the mindset and the mentality to do that. When I met you, Jake, it was like, you know what? I'm managing from afar. How do we grow this thing? I know you need help. You can't be in the office as a property manager when you have 100 units. You can't do that. That's the time to start hiring. You can't be out on maintenance calls. You can't be out on that big-ass lawnmower cutting grass. You just can't be doing that. Remember the buyback principle of Dan Martell? Go back and listen to that podcast with Dan Martell. Amazing. It was the buyback principle. Buy back your time. If your time is $100 an hour, that's what you're making. Are you going to get on a lawnmower and cut the grass for $25? No, because your time is worth more money. And that's what you start realizing. All of a sudden, I need to start
scaling.
You're not getting
$25 even to cut grass, man. You're more like 14, 15, I think. But yeah.
Depends where you live, baby. If you're in California, maybe 50. I'm just saying. Not really sure. You Tennesseans are a little spoiled up there. I'm just saying. But really, this is the point where you start to say to yourself, okay, my time is worth something. What is my highest and best use? I know Stenziano's highest and best use is going out there, negotiating with the sellers, trying to get these deals under contract and starting to build systems and really having a big oversight over what's going on with the properties. If you start hiring employees in this part, it's scary, but I will tell you, if your thought process is, yeah, I really need to hire a bookkeeper, it's too late. You should have already hired one. How do I know that? Been there, done that. Hey, I need to hire an editor. Been there, done that. Hey, I need a property manager. I just can't keep – you have to start thinking about, at this point, to start hiring. And one trick that we've really had as far as a mind hack goes, if you're going to hire somebody for $50,000 a year, let's say that comes out to about $5,000 a month, which is $60,000. So for the next 3 months, think of this person being hired. You're going to need to allocate $15,000 for the next 3 months. It's a trial run. If things work out and this employee works great, hey, you keep this employee on for the rest of the year. If it doesn't, you've committed $15,000. You've lit 15 grand on fire. Not 60, only 15. But I will promise you, when you need to hire that person, you're already way past that. You shouldn't be doing $25 an hour bookkeeping when you're making $100 an hour or $200 an hour. That's just the reality. We just don't want to let go. So at this point, start hiring employees.
Gino, I want to take the next one because you have hire a systems trainer here. And the really cool thing about our community, we mentioned that our framework, all of our education is based around buy right, manage right, and finance right. Well, Gino also mentioned that we're vertically integrated. We have our own in-house management team. We have over 70 employees, and we've purchased all of that most high-end systems training that's out there. We've spent over hundreds of thousands of dollars on our systems training because it was so lacking early on. And we've taken the best pieces from all these different components from these systems training, and we've basically molded it into our own for property management. So if you ever decide to join the Jake and Gino team, you actually have access to all of that, all our KPIs, our cadence of accountability, everything that we've taken from these general business solutions, and we've dumbed it down and applied it to a systematic form for multifamily investing. So it's probably one of the most amazing pieces. It's not just buying, it's not just financing, it's not just raising money. We have the business systems in our program and our network to really make it happen for people. And that's what Gino mentioned earlier. He said PPU, that's profit per unit. If you want to learn how to make these deals actually pay you, be a systems person so you can really drive that profit per unit. I think it's one of the most amazing things our team has done over the last 5 years.
And Jake, we talk about people, systems, and culture, but I think at this point, in this fifth step, I think it's really important to create core values. And I can speak from experience. Why did I only have one restaurant for 20-something years? I didn't have core values. I didn't have a mission statement. I wasn't a leader. And when we got into the multifamily space, we're sitting at around 600 units, and we look at ourselves and go, how are we going to scale? We don't have proper property management software. We really don't have any kind of core values. We're just hiring by the seat of our pants if this person qualifies. Well, at that point, we did get the systems training, and we decided to say we need to create core values. And ever since then, it's been really awesome because when you hire an employee or you work with a vendor or on the Jake and Gino side, you work with a sponsor or whatever that may look like, you look at your core values and you look at their core values and do they align? And if they align, great. And if not, not a good fit. Here's where culture comes into play as well. Culture is so important in an organization. You're starting out. Start to create the culture that you want. Start to create the feel that you want. Start to create those core values. So when those employees come through, if they fit the core values, they can be trained on any kind of skill set. Trust me, if they fit the core values and they align with what you're trying to accomplish, those are the people that you're trying to attract in your organization.
Yeah, and it might not come out on day one, right? It might take 3 months to, as Gino alluded to earlier, to see someone's true colors, and that's okay. You know, you can move on at that point too. But I think that when you do recognize that there is a imbalance or the team member, the vendor is not a core value fit, cut the relationship off, move on, find the person or the team member that's going to be a better fit for you and your organization.
The next one I wrote down here was asset management versus property management. And this is the point where you're starting to scale up. You know, 100 plus units, you really need to get a tight grip on managing the asset as far as from the budget perspective. We've created property logs. Property logs are so important, I think, at this point. I want to mention,
Gino, what is a property log?
Yeah, let me go into it. When we first bought our first property, it was great. Jake could go to the property. He could visibly look at it. Hey, we need to clean the gutters. We need the power wash. Second property, you could still manage it. The third property, by the fourth property, you're already starting to get stretched out, and you don't have an understanding, and all of a sudden you're starting to hire people. So it was about 2 years ago we decided, man, we need to create these property logs. It's really a Google Doc, for lack of a better way to describe it. Very simple, but they're very detailed. On a property log, it's the age of the build, where it's located. You're going to put all the vendors on there, age of the roof, any kind of CapEx work that you've done. When's the last time you cleaned the gutters? When's the last time you power washed the building? Who are the electric providers? Who are the vendors that are servicing this property? And the reason why you're doing this is, as you're scaling up, you hire a new property manager. You're not reinventing the wheel. It's there in the property log. They take a look at it. They can understand it. And if you're a third-party property management and you're hiring a new one, well, you're not having to scramble. Here's the log for this property. This is what needs to be done. This is what's gotten done. It's all, you know, documented there, and it's so important. And for us, one of our most crucial documents. The other one is the weekly pulse. Every week we have the touch points. If you're having third-party property management, shame on you if you're not on the call with them at least every 2 weeks. And I don't want to hear, oh, well, I'm not big enough, or you know what? That's a limiting belief, number one. And number two, they may not fit your core values. Because if your core value is responsibility and, you know, ownership, that doesn't fit the core value of, oh, I can't be on. You're trying to be proactive as an asset manager and as a property manager. Now, one of the other biggest mistakes we made was the asset management is going to be sometimes in conflict with the property management, because the asset manager is worried all about the numbers. They're worried about IRR. They're worried about cash on cash return. The property manager is looking to get butts in seats and looking to do a great job with the customer experience. Asset manager is trying to save money. Property manager is trying to create an experience. They have to work together to have that asset working efficiently. That's how you do it, by creating budgets and by making sure that you're not overspending, understanding what your, you know, pro formas look like as far as rents, as far as what income is going to be in the future, and as far as expenses. They need to work together. And this is where you're on the 100 unit mark. Plus, all of a sudden, wow, I really need to start doing budgets every year, and I really need to start sticking to them and seeing what happened last year and start tracking stuff. And Jake said something very important towards the beginning of this podcast. If you can't measure it, then you can't manage it. And this is where you're starting to have to really measure your success and measure what's going on in your properties.
Now, it's all good points. And I think the most important thing, gang, is if you're ready to take the next step and you're looking to become that multifamily entrepreneur, hit us up. You can email the big dog over there, gino@jakeandgino.com. He can set you up with a complimentary call with our team and see if it's a good fit. But we have the resources. We've been through it. It's what we do day in and day out, and we're very passionate about it. We know we have the premier multifamily community in the space, and we're here to help. So, Gino, any final words before we sign off?
Multifamily is an amazing vehicle. It's changed my life. And when I first started my journey, I only thought of it as an investment. I didn't think of it as a business, and I didn't think that you could scale and create multiple streams of revenue. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's what this asset's allowed us to do. It's allowed us to live an amazing life. It's allowed us to have amazing tax advantages. It's allowed us to create a dividend every month that we're able to, you know, extract every month. And it's a real asset. It's not crypto, it's not stocks, it's something we own, something that we can control, something that we can continue to grow. And that's what I love the most about the asset. It's really a business, and it's scalable. And then once I said again, it's got those tax benefits. It's an amazing vehicle to get you to financial freedom.
And it's a basic human need, right? I think that it's great to do the doodad or the widget or the gadget or whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, people need a place to call home and put their head down, and we're here to help. So, gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He is the G-Daddy, and we make it happen. We'll see you next time.